everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, guess what? We got rain yesterday. It's no surprise because there is that little tropical belt where the Buckmaster bungalow is located. Two rainstorms so far, about 5 inches on our unofficial gauge. Not too bad. But of course, this storm that blew in yesterday, Tom, came down actually from the rim, and it just went over the Catalinas, and
came from the northwest to a southeast, northeast to a southwest direction.
Yep. Yeah, and it just parked over us. So high winds, and we survived. Hopefully, this time without any damage on our property. But boy, River Road looks pretty bad right now. Anyway, the Buckmaster Show in our, 13 and a half years into the radio project, 36 years in Tucson broadcasting. We are in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios, part of the growing presence of Bustos Media here in town. Our new station, acquisition after, it's been about 6 months. The Drive, doing very well, 101.7. So we've got five radio stations under one roof, and this one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We have worldwide live listening on my website, and of course, pretty much every show we have done since January 2011 is conveniently available for podcast at buckmastershow.com. When we do our live line, that's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. A couple of media shout-outs, and this one I can do in person because he's here. Dan Scheer, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun. Dan, thanks for all you've done for this program, not only for my program on radio, but many years on our Friday roundtable on TV.
Yep. Thank you very much, Bill.
And also a big shout out to Dylan Smith and his growing team over at TucsonSentinel.com. And then Kurt and Caitlin have joined up with us. They're a media partner now with Tucson Agenda. So they're doing great work. Also, time to introduce our Friday Focus interview. Pima County Administrator Jan Lesher returns to the program. Always a pleasure to see you, Jan.
Good to see you, Bill. Thank you.
And one more thing about Dan Scheer. Dan, you're the editorial director, not only the editor of the two paper, but the papers, but the editorial director for 36 papers in a dozen states, owned by Sierra Vista-based WIC Communications. You did spun off that one paper that was right there, I think, on the Mississippi, right?
Right, on Louisiana. And but we're always in the market. We just bought a few last year. Like we've talked about Flagstaff and others. I was just talking to Oregon this morning. Got a call later this afternoon with Minnesota and South Dakota.
So there you go.
Yeah, and somewhere in all this, we will put out a newspaper. Locally.
Okay, Jan, the new spending plan for the fiscal year is something you had been working on for at least 6 months before the start of the fiscal year. It's a $1.7 billion budget. Some of the, in the 30-second elevator pitch about this budget, how would you characterize it?
We've not increased taxes. The tax rate has actually gone down about 45 cents per $100 assessed valuation over the last 7-8 years. So I think that's a good positive statement as we move forward. It focuses on four key pillars that look at making sure we have a workforce employer of choice in the Valley, that we maintain a focus on critical infrastructure, that we look at ongoing sustainability issues in our Valley, and that we remain fiscally strong. We have a AAA bond rating, and we want to maintain that. And I think that's what you're seeing in this budget.
And is this budget not as dependent as previous budgets on federal, say, COVID funds?
They're slowly getting out of that. They're still in the budget, but they've been around a while. No new budget numbers. And the dollars that we have received, we have through the end of 2026 to actually spend everything down. Most of it has to be spent by 2025. So you're not seeing any increases as we've had in the last couple of years with, hundreds of millions of dollars coming in from the pandemic dollars.
The last time you were with us for your quarterly visit, we were very worried about street releases.
Yeah.
Pima County now has kind of weathered the storm on that front, haven't we?
Well, for now, I think yes. That the numbers have gone down. We were when I think I was here mm-hmm. and we were chatting, and I was so concerned. We were in excess of 1,000 individuals a day being released, and now we are down less than 500. It's a manageable number for us. Mm-hmm. But I go back to our constant concern should we be doing it? I don't know. But if we're not doing it, then we have 1,000 individuals released on the streets. Our funding in place, we believe now, will get us at least through the calendar year. So if the numbers stay consistent and we are moving, or even can fluctuate slightly, we can keep going through at least the end of the year. And hopefully, as we round out the end of the year, I'm always hopeful that there will eventually be some comprehensive immigration reform or a way to look at.
We've been waiting for that for a while.
But
30
getting,
years or something.
These are the legal asylum seekers, which is the population with which we work.
Mm-hmm. Is there a new service provider that you've teamed up with?
There is, in that we have Catholic Community Services was doing this since before we became involved, 5 or 6 years ago. And time for them to move out of this business as well. They are going to continue to operate at our AHO facility, which is half of what used to be the juvenile detention facility. And they'll be working with families primarily, mm-hmm. and maybe 40 or so individuals. Mm-hmm. The facility on Drexel is where we remain providing the lion's share of the service. And that now is working with a company called AMI, who has been an additional provider with us for a while, but now has moved into the primary spot.
All right, here's Dan Scheer.
Back to the budget briefly. Under your new budget, I know there's no tax rate increase, but is the average person, because these things can be so complex sometimes, is the average person going to pay more taxes? Will there be more money leaving my wallet as a result of this budget?
If individuals' assessed valuation have gone up, then yes, what you see will go up. And that what has occurred, we have not increased the tax rate, but while assessed valuation goes up, our dollars are based on $100 per $100 of assessed valuation, you will see an increase. The budget's down about $340 million from last year, but costs are going up for everybody else. And so your pocketbook may see, I'm trying to remember the exact numbers, Dan, but I think it was about $20 a month potentially that's coming to you in the average homeowner in Pima County.
Okay, and another issue, because it affects us down there also. Starting July 1, Pima County has launched a new Conservation Lands and Resource Department, and that really is taking one department and splitting it into two. Can you tell us about that?
Sure, happy to. Thank you. We had two departments that grew over a period of time, one called Office of Sustainability and Conservation, and then we had Natural Resources, Parks, and Recreation. And so what we've done is take the natural resources part of Parks and Recreation and move that in with the sustainability and conservation so that the folks running the Parks and Recreation Department can focus on that task and do it well, running our parks, running the recreational facilities. Some of the larger facilities we've had, and I know in your area, the Canoa Ranch, and those properties now can be managed with the overall picture of sustainability, conservation, but the staff that ran it before, and I think we're doing a great job down in that area, will remain the staff who continue to run it. They've just moved with a different set of initials as a department.
I'd agree that they have done a terrific job with those entities down there. Your average person in Green Valley or Sowetita is not going to notice a difference.
Not a change at all.
Nope. Okay.
So this consolidates two departments, basically?
It puts two together and kind of shakes them together and breaks them back apart. Uh-huh. Because over the years, it was the Office of Sustainability. It was one, two people, and it continued to expand. And then Parks and Recreation, as we began to acquire space and land, such as the Canoa Ranch, sort of morphed into doing a little bit more than just standard fare of parks and recreational facilities. Mm-hmm. And so when we really looked at it, what we did was spend about a year and ask the directors of the two departments to meet with their senior leadership and work amongst themselves to figure out what they thought would be the best way to realign the departments so that we are really allowing for everybody that's working in that area to work together.
Jan Lesher is with us, Pima County Administrator. On our Monday one-on-one this week, we had a nice conversation, pretty far-reaching, actually, with Josh Jacobson, who is one of the co-founders of the Tucson Crime Free Coalition, which has grown from a handful of people over 2 years to now over 7,000 members. Josh was saying he was very pleased with his relationship with Pima County, especially when it comes to trying to get people who are released from the Pima County Jail, making an area where there would be a transition so those people don't wind up back in jail.
Bill, we've learned a lot, I think, from the Crime Free Coalition. I think of the days there were four individuals, I think, of who really started this effort almost 2 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked before, Bill. It's pretty easy to find yourself in a bubble and not hearing everything. And Josh and Kevin and Monica and Oliver and folks came to us with some significant concerns about a homeless in their area. And so what's been very helpful for us, I think, is to work with those individuals, with the Crime Free Coalition folks and others, many others in the community, to help us develop what we need to do. And for the Pima County side of the house, we began to really focus on some of the criminal justice part of the system. Some are looking at, you know, homeless encampments, and obviously we work with that as well. But I think where we can really have the greatest impact is because other than, while the city may have municipal courts, we've got the superior courts, we've got the jail. So many individuals are showing up in our jail who have been part of that homeless environment with, I think, what's really occurred in the last couple of years that's caused this extraordinary escalation is the availability of fentanyl.
Yeah.
And when you have people on the streets and suddenly now a drug of choice that mm-hmm. is pennies, mm-hmm. You have some pretty big problems. How mm-hmm. do we make sure that law enforcement can deal with those individuals and bring them to a facility and I think primarily then get back out on the streets and continue to provide public safety in the community? So we've learned a lot working together with those individuals who represent businesses who are impacted every day.
Mm-hmm. So this Pima County Transition Center will be celebrating its one-year anniversary in August then, right?
In August. And going great guns. Mm-hmm. I am really excited about the Transition mm-hmm. Center and that it is nothing more fancy than a double wide, if you will, mm-hmm. but outside the jail. Mm-hmm. And the goal being if they've been picked up for a drug concern, mm-hmm. and maybe there are people who have been misusing narcotics in some way mm-hmm. or alcohol, no better chance to try to intervene than the day after they've maybe spent a night in jail. Mm-hmm. And when they leave, they come, if you will, sort of through the transition mm-hmm. center. And we have an opportunity to work with those individuals and figure out what they need next. Is it temporary shelter that's been the concern? Do they have a transportation problem? Mm-hmm. Or do they need some treatment? And how do we hook them up with those nonprofits? Because if we're not doing that, we tend to see those individuals spin around and come right back into the jail. So we've got a great operation that's been going, and we're trying to model and see what we can learn from that and potentially expand it into additional capacity within that area.
Yeah, because nothing is, well, it's very sad to see veterans too that are caught up in this cycle and find themselves maybe hooked up on fentanyl and they wind up back in the jail. But anyway, I'm glad the Transition Center is there. I'm glad it's going well. Here's Dan Scheer again.
I think it bears repeating. I had mentioned before in Bill's show, I was served on a grand jury. We heard over 500 cases. I would say 75 to 80%, maybe even higher, were in one way or another traced back to drugs. And it could be, you know, vandalism, assault, burglary, all this type of stuff. And when you say that these drugs are going for pennies, that is no joke. Someone hits you up for a buck on the street, that will buy them a fentanyl pill.
Absolutely.
And I think we need to remember that. If I can change gears here real quickly, back to the Parks and Rec, you guys are going to develop a master plan for the next 10 to 25 years. What's your goals for that?
To really understand, Dan, where we need parks, where we need recreational facilities in this community, and what the needs of the community is. This is a plan we're going to kick off to really go out and talk to all parts of the community and get feedback. You know, what do people want to see? We have some folks who are hoping we expand sand. I'm not going to call it beach volleyball, but it, you know, that sand volleyball. Do we need more pickleball courts? You know, are they children's facilities and splash pads? What exactly do we need and where do we need it? So part of our goal for the master plan is not only to look at unincorporated Pima County, but I keep saying, let's lay it on a map. You know, if one of the incorporated communities, Oro Valley or Sorita Marana, has a terrific facility, it doesn't make sense for us to build something across the street. So what does the community need? Where do they need it? And how do we expand and enhance the services we have?
Do parks ever reach a natural end of life? Or do we just change things within the park?
In my experience, we just change things within the park.
Okay.
I think, you know, that some of our, I think of things we've done in the past, and not just the parks, but in our attractions field where we've worked with golf courses. A golf course in Ajo is not a going Jesse as much as it might have been, you know, when there was greater access to water and things. People aren't playing golf, mm-hmm. you know, in the same numbers they have. We didn't, when we started building pickleball courts, I'd not heard of pickleball, you know, and now everyone, you know, is playing. So it's just, how do we respond to the needs?
We're actually talking to some folks today who are trying to put together a Frisbee golf. And the town of Sarita is also doing that too, looking
sure.
into it. So this might be the next pickleball.
Okay.
Just
well,
get ahead
let's
of
get
it.
Get into it. All right.
Okay. On that note, we'll take a break right here. Jan Lusher continues with segment two of the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Dan Shear also sticks around. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit qlmc.com to view our open trials and express interest.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, Jan Lusher for her quarterly visit to the Buckmaster Show. And Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan, why don't you begin the questioning for Seg 2?
Okay. Any updates on the Mosaic Quarter project? And for the listeners, it's basically the billion-dollar sports and entertainment complex on the south side. What's going on with that?
Actually, Dan, it'll be the next updates on the board agenda on Tuesday, and that when this was adopted and passed by the board a few months ago, the next step was to come back with all the financing agreements and the contracts. So we have hundreds of pages of the work of finance people and lawyers going to the board on Tuesday to approve those financing documents. They're just standard business agreements, if you will, and that we are assuming that right after that you're going to start seeing groundbreaking.
And what is this in comparison to that people might be familiar with? What are we trying to build here?
I'm trying to think how to compare. It is. It will be a variety of fields. You know, ice hockey and various things. But what it's interesting to me is sort of built around a core, and the core, the sort of the hole of the donut, if you will be the hotels and restaurants and things. So I keep thinking about, you know, instead of how do you watch your kids play soccer? Well, if you've come down from Phoenix, you can sit in the hotel room on a balcony and watch, you know, the fields. And I think it will be a wonderful destination. The first tenant, I think, that Mosaic Quarter will see come in is the University of Arizona ice hockey. So it will also have the big red and blue A branded on it as well.
So if you've seen what they've done in Glendale over the last two decades, kind of sort of like that.
Maybe that, yeah.
Of course, they have a big football field.
Which, that helps too.
And an NFL field, which, we don't have that.
But it's sort of the double whammy. But I think it adds great economic benefit and shakes up some open space that pretty much right now is seeing some encampments. So hopefully some good things going on.
What are you hearing from Pima Animal Care on the intake after the 4th of July of animals that were freaking out about the fireworks?
God bless the people in our community, Bill. I think talking to folks for a long time about making sure you keep an eye on a dog those days, we did not, the numbers always go up. But I think it's not been as devastating as it's been in the past. I think there's issues that we're all going to be dealing with. We were just chatting a moment ago of we see a lot of dogs injured. We've seen a horse that ended up having to be put down. Not everyone responds to fireworks in the best way. So our challenge is how do we keep everything moving together? I think we recognize what the impact on the animals, but I think for many of us, the 4th of July and fireworks, I don't want to be the person that ends fireworks, in the valley. But it's
there might be options.
There might be options.
Drones.
How
are
do
great.
We put it together? Yep.
Do you know of any counties where it is illegal to have fireworks in Arizona?
I don't know of any, Bill. I would doubt it in Arizona. There might be some around the country, but not which I'm aware of here.
All right. Here's Dan Scheer.
The heat ordinance has some businesses nervous. You're talking about it on Tuesday. What's going on with that?
Our focus with the heat ordinance, when we started it a couple of weeks ago, it was first to impact our own employees and to walk our talk first so that we're sure that our employees maybe are looking at some more flexible hours. They can start a little earlier in the day if they're out working on streets and roads and things. So we looked internally. What the ordinance will do is... let me add one more piece of that. We've also provided on our websites lots of communications, graphics, and things so that if a business wanted to download things and work with their employees, it's all there for people to use. The ordinance will not impact any local business except those who may wish to do business with the county in the future. So it doesn't go out and regulate just every business, but it will be a condition of a contract in the future to look at a heat ordinance. And I'll tell you, the sorts of things that we are looking at are actually, I think, a little less onerous than the most recent OSHA guidelines that came out. And that's, we heard a lot of, why are you worrying about this, OSHA covers it. And OSHA does do a good job, and they just came out with new rules. So I think we want to make sure that we are encouraging employees, particularly those who want to do business with us, to look at, you know, long sleeve shirts and water and helping people stay hydrated and looking at those hours. These days, you know, what I hear a lot is, well, jeepers, it's always been hot here. And, you know, I'm a native, so it's been hot a long time, but it really has felt like it's getting worse, a little hotter. And if we can help accommodate that by somebody starting at 5 a.m. a shift to work on a road or to work in a park rather than at 8, happy to do that.
Would any part of the ordinance ever call for pulling workers off the streets if it hits a certain temperature, do you think?
Like 130 or
something. Higher.
Oh, man.
I don't see that right now. It's tough. Okay. But I think, you know, it could. My hope is that, like all of these things, if we start with suggestions and sharing of information, we can get to it. It's always easier, from my perspective, to do that than to look. We don't start with a regulatory environment.
Our friends at the Tucson Agenda reported today you're already looking ahead to the next legislative session in 2025.
We are, and Bill, we actively participate with the County Supervisors Association, and the County Supervisors Association provides a legislative agenda for a year that it finalizes at a statewide summit representing all counties. The first week of October. Materials are due to CSA in August, which is why we get our materials, the first wave, if you will, of our issues approved in July. There's some years where we're barely out of the legislative session when we're putting together what we look at the next year. But for us, some of those critical issues remain the same. We need to do a long, hard look at how we fund transportation in Arizona. It's not changed for a long, long time. And I'm not sure is completely adequate for what we need with roads and other transportation modes in southern Arizona. We're looking at making sure that we've got local control of issues, that we're dealing with funding for quality education. Some pretty broad strokes about just rather than saying we need a specific X, Y, or Z this year, we've really looked at broader ideas. We've been very involved with what we call the PEEPS program, our early education funding. And as part of that, it's to make sure that quality preschool education continues. So we've got some information, for example, in the legislative agenda that encourages the state to continue funding DES programs and quality preschool.
For years, we've talked about regionalism, Jan Lesher, in our area. I mean, you and I didn't get off the bus yesterday. We've heard this, that we need to have more cooperation. The Regional Transportation Authority 20-year plan was a major step in that direction. If RTA Next, which is struggling right now, doesn't happen, it would be a huge setback?
It's a huge step back in many ways. I think it's not only the funding for so many of the roads in our transportation network in Pima County, but it is, as you point out, it's a icon of regionalism and cooperation. And this is, the Regional Transportation Authority, to me, and looking at RTA Next, is not a time to look at what is critical for our individual community or unincorporated Pima County. Obviously, a concern for all of our residents to be slightly proprietary in that way. But it really is looking at what are the global needs. And when I look at it and think if there's a, for example, the Cortero I-10 interchange has been, if you will, credited to Marana because it's in that area. I think that for people who use the interstate to commute for work and such, don't see that as necessarily related to Marana, but to a region. People who are commuting in the downtown area and are using, you know, the streetcar and such might see that as different than simply benefiting the people of Tucson. So how do we look at the regional needs and understand that everybody's got to give a little and be able to advocate with their constituents about why this does benefit them? And it's not just a maybe just hard math of saying we need X percent, but here's why all of the roads that have been chosen for inclusion or to go to the public for review as part of the plan are critical infrastructure to benefit the entire valley.
Dan Scheer.
I want to give you a little plug. July 18th is a job fair. The county will be there, and that's from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Keno Event Center. Speaking of that, how's the staffing going? You still looking for a lot of people?
You know, we're doing so much better. I have to tell you that we are, last I was looking at the numbers, our vacancy rate's now running between 11 and 12%. Mm-hmm. It was over 20 just a couple years ago when we said, about mm-hmm. a year and a half ago, when we really started leaning heavily into the classification compensation plan and such, we were running at about 17. So it's moving, and I'm very pleased to see that. Like everybody, we've got some critical positions mm-hmm. That are very difficult to fill.
IT mainly?
We've got, yeah. well, you'd be no? more facilities, maintenance okay. guys. You know, it's just people who are, the jobs for which our competitors are not other government. Mm-hmm. And you're right, IT is mm-hmm. a big one mm-hmm. because people can, we just lost, I think, five or six individuals to Raytheon. Mm-hmm. They pay at a different rate than yes. does the county. So some of those are tough, but it's a lot of our facilities and trades that have been difficult. Mm-hmm. The other end of the scale, we have challenges. If anyone out there is interested in, if you're a physician and a pathologist and want to work at the medical examiner's office, mm-hmm. do call. That's
good.
There's been some tweaks to the call to the public. Is it now a more conducive, friendly, kind of conducive place to come and make your comments at the board meetings?
I hope it's always been somewhat welcoming, but yeah, I think it would happen prior. There was not a time limit, and so the call to the public was lasting maybe three and a half hours. And so it's difficult when the board starts to get about the business of the county after they've been sitting there for 3 hours. There's now 1 hour. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is I want to remind folk that if you know, those of you listening right now, our board of supervisors is there 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. Some there 7 days a week. County staff is there a lot more as well. So if you have an issue, the only way to going to the board at a public meeting is not the only way to get that position heard. Mm. But I think some of the, you know, the really difficult and contentious days seem to be past us, and that people have some pretty difficult statements to make and have some real differences of opinion with how the county is operating, mm-hmm. and they share that with us. Mm-hmm. But it is an hour.
But try to keep it, folks, family friendly, right? Because a lot of kids are there sometimes and observing, and you don't want a lot of that.
Bill, and I think you and I have talked about this before. I think I grew up in a different environment. Mm-hmm. You know, in Congress, yes. it starts with, you know, will the gentle person from, yes. you know, Florida yeah. yield or something, that there is a civility. Mm-hmm. That I think is critical even when individuals are disagreeing. Mm-hmm. And when folks are challenging members of the board from the audience with profanity and such, that to me is not the right way to express a difference of opinion.
Here's Dan Scheer.
Copper World Project, we learned this week that there are going to be some public meetings this month and next, actually August, September, on the air quality permit. The aquifer protection permit decision is expected in August. Things are moving forward. This is the four open pits on both sides of the Santa Ritas. How closely are you keeping tabs on that, and what's the latest thought on their progress?
We keep very close tabs on it. Our Department of Environmental Quality is watching it. I was looking at some, actually, emails going out today to leadership from Copper World asking questions about that air quality permit, making sure that we know exactly how Pima County can become involved in that process and make sure that we're monitoring air quality. That's an issue for us in a big way, I'll tell you, for many folk who have been working in the Phoenix area for a while. That has been a non-attainment area for 20 plus years, and mm-hmm. it significantly impacts how businesses might operate and how people can move around the valley. And as we get larger and have different pollutants in the air, I think if we were to ever become a non-attainment area, it does have a very limiting impact. So we watch the air quality, not simply to look at the mining activities, but what is the overall impact of our workforce and the economy in the valley.
First-time home buyers, Pima County is offering, I think, a fifth round of assistance. This is such a difficult area for people that are hoping that they can have a home. But there is help for from Pima County?
Well, the Pima County Industrial Development Authority, mm-hmm. it's a separate entity, but yes.
People don't really understand what that is, but yeah.
Around the state, there are there are these industrial development authorities. The city of Tucson has one. Pima mm-hmm. County has one. They're in effect separate entities, but they work within our geographic region of Pima mm-hmm. County. But the things that they choose to do are ultimately approved by the Board of Supervisors, and the issuance of these of the funding for affordable housing, we hope, has been significant. And this is, I think it's the fourth round? Mm-hmm.
Fifth
round. Great amounts of extraordinary opportunity for individuals to have access to that first home. Mm-hmm. And to those down payments and things that they need, particularly unless and until we see the interest rate start going back down. So.
The route for what is called I-11, I know the governor has felt that it might have been premature for the Board of Supervisors to even weigh in on these particular routes because it's so far down the road. I mean, we could be talking about generations.
We could, yeah. But maybe not. And I think that Pima County has had a position. There are two routes.
Right.
And Pima County has been on record opposing one of them for many years and just renewed that opposition to one of the routes and concerned about where that's going through tribal lands, other parts of environmentally safe parts of the communities. But I think you're right. It could be a long way down the road. But the Arizona Department of Transportation does their planning in a long way out.
Yeah.
And so if something is in a plan or isn't in a plan, pretty soon they become just the way we do business. And if we don't have some statements about our concerns in it, there will be that next generation that's looking at all those documents and say, well, nobody ever objected to it, you know, so we might as well put it here.
By the way, the word route, you can often tell where someone is from with that word. I know I'm from the Midwest and say route. Others would say route. So one of those words. And Dan, a final word from you.
Okay,
let's hear you say the word.
I'd say route,
okay,
but anyway.
There you go.
Okay, so Jan, you have a friend who lives out of state looking to retire. She wants good weather, low crime, nice roads. Are you going to recommend Pima County?
I sure am. I think we don't tell our own tale, you know, well enough. And I think sometimes we focus on some of the negative. And I think in the last couple of years, it's a dry heat, right? I'll tell them that. That's important.
Yeah.
Moving now might not be great, but the roads are getting fixed. The infrastructure's there. Businesses are here and thriving. And I think the community's just getting better and stronger every day.
Unless you're flying into Tucson yesterday, where the air quality, and it's like, I thought they had mountains here.
Behind the hail.
Yeah.
Big issue.
Okay, Jan Lesher, thank you very much, Jan. Hope you have a great weekend,
thanks
okay?
So much.
All right, Dan, stick around. I've got a few items for you right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to Jan Lesher, Pima County Administrator, our Friday Focus interview. Dan Scheer sticks around now, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, and he is the editorial director for 30-some newspapers in 13 states.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very busy, and they picked up a couple of extra papers. The one in Flagstaff. How's that going, that transition with the staff? Were they pleased with the pretty much overall with the new management?
They were very pleased because they were they belonged to a big chain that really had put them in the bottom third of all their papers, meaning as far as attention and money and everything goes. And it's because they're a smaller operation. Mm-hmm. And they were really glad that we came in. We have a good track record. We've been around almost 100 years and know what we're doing in these small communities. And they are such a unique animal because their digital subscriptions is sky high. And our question is, okay, how'd you get there?
Yeah.
You know, on the other end, the print is very low.
Mm-hmm.
And so is this the future, and how did they get there, and how can we make it better? And so we've done a lot of work up there and just some really good things going on.
Were they part of the same chain that owned the Star?
Yes. And then they are, yes. And like I said, there are worse places to be working for a corporate owner.
Yeah.
But they're glad that they're out.
Yeah.
But we have some really bad actors in the newspaper business, and they're glad to belong to a family company.
All right. Fireworks down in your area. It was kind of thousands of people, right, showed up thinking that they could look just right overhead and see the fireworks instead of having to, like, look 2 miles away.
Well, the town made a really good decision, and then it turned into a really bad decision. So you have to look at a fireworks day, a 4th of July event, as being two parts. One is just the water day for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge success. But just about a week before 4th of July, they realized, you know what, we're going to get a lot of people down here, and where we plan to put them is not big enough. So we're going to move them to a nearby park that can accommodate what ended up being an estimated 18,000 people.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, monstrous. And so, unfortunately, that park was 1.7 miles away from the fireworks that were being shot off.
Well,
so if you looked overhead, you were going to see, you're going to see some stars.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of beefing about that. And I'm going to just do it. Bill. I'm going to go after local television news, which I have never been a fan of. There's some really, really good reporters out there. But you know what they did? They found a couple of people who had a bad night, put them on the air, and said, that's the end of it, rather than really finding out all the details, what the town's plan is, how why they got into that position of having to move people. Mm-hmm. And you can't just move where you're sending the rockets off either. There's a lot of technical stuff to this.
There's safety concerns, too.
Absolutely, and that's really what it all comes down to. So I would tell TV reporters one more time, if you can't tell the story right, please don't tell it at all, especially in my area, because I'm ending up mopping up what your poor reporting.
Yeah. So. We were talking with Jan about pickleball and how fast that particular endeavor has taken off. And the over 50 folks really love it. And now there's something new.
We think.
What are we calling it?
It's Frisbee Golf, which has been around for decades, but it's one of those things which is now in our area. The town of Sahuarita is looking in putting in a lot more. I don't even know what they call them, Bill. I guess it's like a course or something. There is, we're meeting this morning. One of my reporters met with a group of people who was trying to put something together in Green Valley, a little three-hole course, we'll call it that. And then we know that there is out in Quail Creek, one of our communities, they've got, I think, 120 people in their Frisbee Golf club. And so this thing has really taken off. It's just one of those weird things, you know, and came out of nowhere. So we'll see if it's a trend or a fad or what it is.
And I want to thank you for publishing the little op-ed that I wrote for you in the paper down there. And you had some good reaction to this.
Had some really good reaction because there's when you lose a life partner, it is that initial jolt. But the following year is so key, and you have been very open to sharing what has been going on with you since Ann passed away, and that people are very grateful for that, because to have that type of viewpoint, especially from a journalist, frankly, we go into reporter mode in crises situations, even if it involves us, and it's been very valuable information and very candid, and I appreciate that, very, very valuable in our area and beyond.
All right. And if folks want to take a look at it, it's at
GVnews.com, and it's under the opinion section.
GVnews.com. Thank you very much, Dan. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Coming up next, another Dan Gibson with our Weekend Watch right after we take a break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
Pima Association of Governments, the Greater Tucson Region's metropolitan planning organization, is developing a new long-range transportation plan for the next 30 years. Shape your transportation future and tell us your transportation project and funding priorities. Take the survey at pagregion.com/2055. That's pagregion.com/2055.
Time for Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive, and the payoff is cooler temperatures. That's worth driving a little bit to have a temperature midday, 85. Nice. About 5,000 to 7,000 feet elevation, depending on where you are in that Silver City area. Beautiful time of year. As the Gila Wilderness gets the much-needed rain and starts to green up, it's just a great weekend getaway, or a midweek getaway for that matter. Start your planning now by going to their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Here is the host of Weekend Watch, Dan Gibson. Dan, how are you, sir?
Oh, it's been an exciting day here at TMC, for sure.
What's been going on? A lot of business stuff for you, huh?
You know, might as well just talk about it. A mountain lion was in one of our courtyards today.
What?
Yeah, apparently got through the wash on the roof, ended up in one of the courtyards here at TMC. We blocked the courtyard off. No patients or staff or anyone was harmed, and then the mountain lion has been tranquilized and removed from our campus by Tucson Police Department and Arizona Game and Fish. So all is back to normal. So if anybody has been seeing in the media or on social media that there's a mountain lion on campus, there is no longer a mountain lion on campus.
Hey, some exciting kind of breaking news here on Weekend
Watch.
Yeah,
exactly. I got to give that to you. You know what I mean? I can't leave you out.
No. And, you know, those courtyards make TMC just such a pleasant kind of conducive to kind of relaxing, looking out at the courtyard. And this time.
That is the hope. Yes, that is generally the idea. Yes, is that
this
everyone
added a little
can
bit
see the outside, now, get a little bit of the desert.
Now we're talking about a wildlife enclosure. So
yes, exactly. Hopefully, this is the first of these for me. But you know,
oh, gosh. All right. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that update. So what's going on this week?
There.
Okay.
So I gave you the first answer.
Thank you.
All right.
Much.
Well, it's a big beer weekend. Sort of these things roll around every year, which is great, but Tap a Bottle Downtown is having their 11th year anniversary party tomorrow from noon to 11 p.m. They will be having 11 Arizona beers on tap, half price on select bourbons, food trucks, music, cookies, mariachi, all kinds of stuff happening all at once. Tap a Bottle is really their founding sort of began the burst of Tucson craft beer. It has been a place where new breweries come to try, you know, to demonstrate their beers. National breweries come to show off their work. The Saffords have done an incredible job, and absolutely, we're celebrating 11 years. It's a good run for any establishment, by all means.
And Tucsonans love their beer.
Yeah, they do, for sure. Speaking of which, weirdly enough, 1912 Brewing, which is over on Forbes, just west of the freeway off Grant, is having its 9th anniversary. These things line up every year. That is happening, I think, also tomorrow at their location at 2045 North Forbes. Yeah, it's tomorrow from noon to 8. They will be having a food truck and then also celebrating and toasts and all this stuff. And if you haven't had 1912 beer, it's really quite delicious, and they have a nice spot over there on the west side.
Okay. I can take another item. Go ahead.
sounds great. Hey, how about art? People love art, right? Mm-hmm. I hear good things about it.
Sure.
And gallery, which is actually one of the most like creative, interesting galleries, I think, in Tucson at the moment. They had just recently moved to the Five Points area. They were on 4th Avenue. Now they're on 834 South 6th Avenue. Tomorrow from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., they are having what they call an untraditional Western art exhibit called Saddles and Boots. About 10 artists. It's all curated by an artist named Sinopia. There'll be hot dogs, because who doesn't love hot dogs? And then a number of artists all showing their reflections on the American West. If you're interested, there's also an after party for that event at Shay's Lounge at 10 p.m., hosted by one of the artists with DJs and live music as well.
Boy, you got to wonder how that mountain lion made it all the way down from presumably like Mount Lemmon or something, all the way to the courtyard at TMC at Grant and Craycroft.
There is a fair amount of wildlife encounters here. I'm not patience, but like, you know, you get, we're near a wash, right? We get the we're back up to the Rito as well. And there's a fair amount of desert area around here. This is a new one. I will say it's the first time I've heard of a mountain lion here, but it is a... although I will say when TMC started, there were frequent visits from the mountain lion from the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. They used to bring the mountain lion by to see children and stuff, which is a very weird thing to think about today.
I know. All right. Dan Gibson. Thanks, Dan. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too.
All right. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Hope everybody has a great weekend.